IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Habib and Sayyid Muhsin. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So today's topic is different opinion in Islam. I think we have in Surah Hujurat, Ayah 13, that we have created you from different nations and tribes in order to identify.
Yes.
No, well, the purpose is in order to identify and know each other better, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this difference of opinions, races, languages.
Difference of opinions, I said it before, that the lifestyles differ, you know. Mm-hmm. There's this saying I've been looking for a long time. And the story of me reading it is a very nice story, actually. I was going to a majlis, and then all of a sudden I went into the Marashi Najafi library. It's a long story short. I opened the book, and the first thing that came up to my eyes was that the way that the imam used to respect people who were from more outside the Arab lands, the Persians, it was different from the ways that he would respect the people from the Arab lands. That really just popped up to my mind, that there are some, you know, let's say notions, ideas, that, for example, in the Arabic, if you stand up, it's a sign of respect. Kissing the hand is a sign of respect for the knowledges and scholars. In the West, for example, it's kind of a respect that you don't stand up. Because if you stand up, it's kind of like you're scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
What I want to say here is that there are different ethics.
Okay.
Etiquettes. Cultures. You know, the food that we eat really just displays that this effort, different ethics, you know?
Yeah.
And that really just shows you that the difference of our opinions, even though they are different to some extent, at the end of the day, there might be, you know, those larger notions of respect, of humbleness.
Yes.
The way that being humble, what the Prophet did is different than the way of being humble, for example, in the Arab manner is different than the way of being humble in the American manner, for example. And, you know, even the FBI have this. I seen it on YouTube, actually. Okay. And the way that you hold flowers is different. You hold flowers because in society, it's rude to hold flowers like this. Yes, yes, yes. So you hold it the opposite manner in Eastern Europe.
But the picture that is shown to you in today's media is also important. Sometimes the people are believing the picture that is shown to them. You know, Professor Edward Said in this book, Orientalism. I think you have read this book, Brother Habib, that this is a good book. You know, the picture that is shown to the world out of the Arabs sometimes is believed by themselves. Okay, we were barbaric, we were backward, you know, we had nothing.
Just to look at the religion itself.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to look at the religion by itself.
Okay.
But then comes this sophisticated topic of al-husn wal-qubh al-aqliyyin. The, you know, trying to see what is good and bad only with your intellect.
Yes.
Is the brain capable of doing so or not?
Okay.
And if it is capable, to what extent? Is it everything? It's truly studied in theology, in Islamic theology, for its importance in al-adl, or the just of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in debate with the Asha'ira. And so at the end of the day, how are you? Who are you? My better question. Who are you to judge what is barbaric or not?
I'm a poor host who is acting.
No, not you. The other guy. Not you.
I know.
I'm just saying that who are you to judge this is barbaric or not? Who are you to judge this is terror or not terror? Who gave you the salahiyya or the right and the authority to say this is barbaric and this is not barbaric? This is stonehead. This is not stonehead. I see
unless you knew you created yourself, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That's the point.
Yes.
You have a creator. Why do you follow the laws of your of the brains of others, right? Look, people who see that women are wearing too much cover and are modest, they see them as what? Barbaric people. People that are being forced. They themselves, the woman that's wearing hijab, she's like, no, I love this. I see myself as a human being when I do this. So who gave you the right to judge?
Yes. Okay, that's all right. So Prophet Muhammad, out of his prophethood, and out of the message and the mission that was put on his shoulder, to some extent, or it's better to say in a better words, as a prophet of Allah, had to respect all the people. But what about the imams? I mean, for example, what do we have? Do we have any evidence of Imam Ali alayhi salam showing any kind of disrespect to his or intolerance towards his enemies or those who were against him?
Well, obviously, when we look in the history, we see that there was always a matter of respect. For example, a guy came to Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and he was abusing him, literally, and he never knew. Like, he didn't knew at that time when he entered the Medina that it is Imam Hassan. He was from Umayyah. He came from Syria.
Okay.
But Imam Hassan, when he saw him, obviously, he took him to his house. He said, it looks like you are a stranger. You came to this city for the first time, so you don't have any place for living. You don't have anything to eat, so I give you a place to live. I bring food for you. And all those, so with the hospitality which he saw from Imam Hassan, he asked the people, like, who is he? And they said, he's the same guy who you were abusing when you entered the city of Medina. So this action changed that guy. And he said, like, the things that I have heard about you in Syria is totally different. What I can see in you, mm-hmm. What I see like in you. Mm-hmm. So basically, the characteristics of Imam or the history of Imams, it shows us that they had the respect of even the enemies.
Okay.
When they were as a guest. You know, in Arab tradition, obviously, when there is someone as comes as a guest, even if it is your enemy, you need to respect.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot see this culture in West. You know, can you imagine that an enemy enters to an American's house and he respects him just because of being a guest? No, they don't even allow them to enter the house. So basically, there's a difference of the culture, as brother has said. So we cannot judge things upon what it is said through one, like through one's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing. But obviously, yes, we can see that in the life of Imam, especially in the life of Imam Ali. Even if there were a difference, he has shown respect to a level in order to save Islam. Because yes. For us, the main thing is Islam.
Yes.
This is very important. So we need to save this religion because of which we exist, obviously, which is the cause of our creation. This is the deen, this is the Islam.
Yeah.
And obviously, in order to save Islam, we have to do respect.
Just look at Imam Ali ibn Musa Raza's dialogues, you know, with the non-Muslims in the Ma'mun's court, Brother Habib.
Yeah,
the dialogues and the conversations of Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, you know, answering their questions, you know, based on their
debating
own books.
Debating with them.
Debating and discussing, you know. All you could see is respect, non-respect, you know.
The matter that, of course,
yeah.
It really goes back to this. Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam had confidence. We said that before, yeah. That the confidence that Islam has, and like how it's very clear for us, he's the divine knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, you have a question. You know, you go and ask the Imam. That is the use of Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam and the rest of the Imam salawatullah alayhi. And you see that, yes, exactly. Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, the way that he used to talk with the religious people, the scholars at the time, he would debate with them in a manner, not only with respect, but with divine knowledge and knowledge of their own books. And he would return them to their own books. Like he would tell them that it's stated in your books this and that. One of the scholars was like, "Oh, really? Is this stated?" He says, "Yeah, go look." And then the people around were like, "Yeah, it's available. What do we do now?" He says, "We can't do anything. We submit to Imam Ar-Ridha."
That's another manner of dialoguing. Like, yeah. When you have to, we need to do some dialogues. It's not just talking about your own opinions, but to know about the other person's.
But the concept of respect, see, when it goes back to arguments, we even have this in logic, right? In the third chapter of logic, where they search for the, you know, jadaliyat,
yes,
and arguments and debates. Sometimes it's kind of fun to, you know, tease and poke your opponent. Why? Because you're in an argument. You have people watching. I don't like to go into arguments personally. But when I get in an argument that I don't like to be in, I start to make fun of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
This is me personally talking.
Okay.
I make fun of him and, you know, just, you know, bug him a little bit, get him a little angry. When he gets angry, usually what happens is that he opens his mouth too much. He vents. Let him vent. And then you just calmly answer. When you do that, even though your answer is not as strong as you'd like it to be, the audience will see, oh, al-hilm ghata'un satir. Adherence is a very modest cover.
Yes.
And see, even though it's a weak answer,
mm-hmm.
but it's coming from modesty, you make him quiet.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the beauty of arguing and poking fun of, you know, some of your points in some situations. But at the end of the day, there's always that respect.
How to present a
and
lecture.
You have seen, like, all the time he was talking loudly and I was calmly answering.
Yes. Yeah, but it doesn't always work with Habib, especially with Arabs.
I'm joking.
Okay. That's all right.
Your take on Amir al-Mu'mineen.
Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, you know how he dealt with the difference of opinions, especially with the bid'ah, the innovations that some of the past caliphs, there were three other past caliphs. I was talking, I'm precisely talking about the second.
Mut'atan.
Yeah, the Mut'atan, the Taraweeh prayers. When Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam wanted to, you know, come and tell him that these are innovations, this is not the right path, they screamed at his face. Wa sunnata umara. When Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, at the beginning, they asked him to come become caliph, he said that I will judge and order with what the Prophet and the Quran came and ordered. They said, no, you would do what the Shaykhain did. He said, no. And that is why he didn't accept it for the second time. And then they came back the third and fourth time until that finally they accepted with the rules and conditions of Amir al-Mu'minin, which at the end of the day, they didn't accept. Mm-hmm. So Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, ruhi lahu al-fida, wanted to do a couple of things, but was unable to because of the difference of opinions. And what's important for me here is that he saw the greater good. What was the greater good? The unity of Muslims was more important than showing that this is right and this is wrong. And that is also something that we always have to keep in mind whenever we're debating with different of opinions. Whenever I have a difference with Ata, for example, because he believes in the stuff that Suruj brought up. For example.
Come on, man. I'm not believing in that, bro.
For example.
For example.
For the sake of the show. Okay. For the sake of the show, okay. I have to, you know, just be quiet in some situations.
Okay, that's all right.
I'm thinking, Ron, he doesn't believe in any of those songs.
No, I do not believe in any. Neither you know, any what you say, bro. Okay, that's all right. Okay, so, yeah, I have this Hurriya, freedom of self. Okay. May Allah help us, you know. The difference with the past generation is that, Brother Habib, we are now so much bombarded with different articles, different, you know, news parts, you know, on the media. You know, the people in the past used to sit out on the corner reading out the Quran, you know.
No. It's not always like that, like how you state. People during that time didn't have anything other to do than talk. Nowadays, yes, it's much easier, mm-hmm. but don't deny the fact that they were also, you know, proposed to differences of opinions and stuff like that. It's available. Yes. Now it's easier, yes, because the other day I was opening the Explore my Instagram account, right? And then I see flat earthers, those who believe in flat earths, conspiracy theorists. I see, for example, those who believe in this kind of concept or this kind of conspiracy, this kind of idea, this kind of religion. I've seen people who believe in, you know, in the devil's worship or people who like to, you know, I've seen their accounts. All of it is on Explore. With just a couple of touches of a screen, you know, you could see the different opinions that are available. And it just intrigues you to try to understand them more. It's available in human beings, you know, like he's different. Why is he different? You want to know what's the difference between you and him more. So you want to know more. And the more you know, you'll get misconceptions, you'll get doubts. And that is why it's important to always have a base.
Yes.
And always return to Quran, always recite the Quran. That is why we have one of the reasons why they state that it's important to always recite the Quran.
That's right.
Is that to review your beliefs, to, you know, to refresh your beliefs in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
At least attending a session which is on muraqabah, you know, giving you warning and cautions, you know.
If you want to refresh your beliefs, don't come to the show.
Yo, pieces of advice. You have to be given pieces of advice, you know. That's right. Attending the lectures of the ulama, listening to them every day, just reminding yourself of the truth and the facts. That's all right. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Habib, for your presence in the program, Viewpoints on Difference of Opinion. It was very kind of you. And thank you, Mashdi, listeners, for listening to us. More information, visit our website at parstory.com/ and Call of Islam page, also a YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, and a world that often lies. Cause I don't need.
show me my